Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Today's obituaries for March 29th. Oscar Caballero Poroy Sanchez, Guthrie, Oklahoma. Oscar Caballero Poroy Sanchez was born on a rainy night, October 30th in 1953, in Marfa, Texas, to Thomas and Pauline Sanchez. Oscar joined the Lord in heaven on March 22nd after 68 and a half wonderful years of life. Viewing will be held at 5 to 7 p.m., immediately followed by a rosary and vigil service at Sacred Heart Catholic Church in McCamey, Texas, on Tuesday, March 29th. Funeral Mass will be Wednesday, March 30th, 10 a.m. at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Marfa, Texas, with burial to follow at El Merced Cemetery. Oscar was preceded in death by his father Thomas, mother Pauline, sister Maria Elena, brother Willie, and sister Patsy. He is survived by his loving wife, Alicia Sanchez of Guthrie, Oklahoma, son Oscar Sanchez Jr. and wife Kara of Allen, Texas, sons Thomas Sanchez and wife Victoria of McCamey, Texas, daughter Sonia Steyer, and husband Cody of Guthrie, Oklahoma. He was a hero to his 10 grandchildren. He is also survived by several nieces and nephews, cousins, and great friends. Online condolences may be made at www.alpinememorialfuneralhome.com. Death notices: Juan Carlos Barrientos Arenivas, Odessa. Juan Carlos Barrientos Arenivas, 15, of Odessa, died Saturday, March 26, in Odessa, Texas. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. Thursday, March 31st, at St. Joseph's Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Father Carlos Rodriguez is officiating. Mando Montes Barriga. Mando Montes Barriga, 59, died Wednesday, March 23rd in Midland. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa.
Hello, this is Cindy reading education from the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Tuesday. Inaugural Book Fest set to start on April 9th. The Midland Education Foundation is excited to announce its first Basin Book Festival on April 9th at the Museum of the Southwest. The event is free to the public, and both the festival booths and expo will be open from 9:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Presented by Pioneer Natural Resources, the festival celebrates the rich tradition of literacy and features programming designed to engage readers of all ages through storytelling, games, crafts, and exhibits. Numerous prize-winning local and regional authors, panelists, and illustrators are also slated to appear, with more still being added to the program. For the Midland Education Foundation, the day-long event is the realization of a long-held dream of championing literacy in the region through a book festival. When Pioneer Natural Resources learned of the foundation's goal, it stepped in to underwrite most of the festival. The size of Pioneer's donation was even enough to sponsor a smaller adult section at the fair, where attendees can get a chance to hear panelists such as novelist and Texas Monthly writer Stephen Harrigan, The Gates of the Alamo, Big Wonderful Thing, and Sarah Perry After the Eclipse, discuss their works and writing process. Pioneer employees have also embraced the festival by collecting books to give away at the event and volunteering to man a Rosie Revere engineer station at the venue. Given Pioneer's long-standing support of the Education Foundation and families in the Permian Basin, I knew our leadership would be anxious to support the Basin Book Festival, said Emily Staten Smith, co-chairwoman of the Basin Book Festival and Pioneer's Associate General Counsel. I think everyone out in Midland understands that in order to improve our public school system, we have to ensure our kids master basic reading comprehension skills. The Basin Book Festival is a great way for kids to get excited about books. With an aim toward engaging the next generation of readers, the festival will feature a large interactive children's section. There, kids can win free books, participate in book-related games and crafts, including a storybook character parade, get face paintings, and create their own illustrations and writing samples. Children can also meet and interact with authors such as Jane O'Connor, Fancy Nancy series, Newbery Medal winner Matt de la Pena, Last Stop on Market Street, Milo Imagines the World, Siebert Honor winner Chris Barron, Fire Truck vs. Dragon, The Dayglow Brothers, Jennifer Matheau, Moxie, Bad Girls Never Say Die, and Jennifer Ziegler, The Brewster Triplet Series. The illustrators, including Robin Price Glasser, Nancy Fancy Series, part of the Alexander Series, will share with children of all ages how the right art can bring the printed word to life. Pioneer has also partnered with the Permian Basin Area Foundation to ensure authors and panelists at the event reflect the racial and ethnic makeup of the region. Nearly half of the roughly 170,000 residents in Midland County identified as having either Hispanic or African American heritage, according to 2020 U.S. Census data. The foundation is also sponsoring a short story writing contest at select high schools, and the winners will be announced at the festival. Festival organizers expect at least 1,000 attendees and hope to make the fair an annual event. As a former educator, I'm proud to work for a company that values and supports our local school systems, said Pioneer Natural Resources Senior Community Relations Lead Amanda Day, a Midland native. When you inspire someone to read, you bring a spark to their imagination. From there, the sky is the limit. Say yes to the prom dress. Area students have the chance to select a free dress for prom Saturday at Midland Park Mall. Suddenlink, TLC, and Macy's partnered to sponsor a Say Yes to the Prom Dress event, allowing anyone to come, select a dress, try it on, and take it home, with all the dresses donated by Macy's. The event is modeled after TLC's hit show, Say Yes to the Dress.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, March 22nd. Education Report. Greenwood ISD to offer credit by examination tests. Greenwood High School will be offering credit by examination tests with or without prior instruction from 8 a.m. until noon on May 23rd and 24th. Tests will be administered on the student's campus. To be eligible to take the test with prior instruction, students must have had prior instruction in the subject or course as determined by the district and received a grade of at least a 60 in the course. To receive credit, the student must score a minimum grade of 70 and meet all other district requirements. To be eligible to earn credit by examination without prior instruction, students must meet all district requirements for that grade level or application applicable course. To receive credit, the student must score a minimum of an 80 or better. A copy of the requirements may be picked up in the counselor's office. A student planning to take an examination for acceleration or credit recovery must register with their counselor by April the 14th. Anyone having questions concerning the tests may call the school office. HEB honors MISD teacher in state contest. A Midland ISD teacher has been named a finalist for the 2022 HEB Excellence in Education Award, spotlighting her as one of the best educators in Texas. Terry Pitts at Bush Elementary was presented with a $1,000 check for herself and a $1,000 check for Bush Elementary. Pitts is one of five finalists for the Leadership Elementary category. She's been invited to Austin on April 29th to compete on a statewide level for larger cash prizes totaling $430,000. HEB's Excellence in Education is the largest monetary award program for educators in Texas and among the largest in the nation. The honor was kept a surprise from the teacher, who this week learned she was a finalist when HEB representatives visited her classroom with schools with gifts from their local HEB store. 6 MCS students qualify for state academic contests. 6 students from Midland Christian School have qualified for the Private Schools Interscholastic Association State Championships. The qualifiers are Luke Stennis, Listening Skills, Caitlin Corey, Prose Interpretation, Parker Despain, Prose Interpretation, Jackson McNeil, Spelling 3, Claire Corey, Storytelling 2, and Sawyer Wilson, Storytelling 3. On March 5th, 44 Midland Christian students participated in the district level of the PSIA academic competition. These students placed in 22 events. MC reported that these students began practicing in September. Students met with their coaches each month until December and once a week during in January. The meet took place. The coaches were Rhonda Bruce, Regan Alexander, Dr. Robert Fuentes, Megan South, Ruth Shepherd, Ashley Gunter, Catherine Tobias, and Karen Bell. The state championship is scheduled for April 30th at TCU in Fort Worth.
Anonymous donor recognizes OHS student teacher. An Odessa High School student and teacher received a donation from an anonymous donor Monday. The donor requested that the Odessa American give it to them and wish them all the best. The student is Quest Bridge Scholar Rigoberto Mendoza, and the teacher is English teacher David Newman. It was nice of your paper to recognize academic achievements, especially for students from disadvantaged backgrounds, the donor said in a letter to editor Laura Dennis. Mendoza, an 18-year-old senior at Odessa High School, was matched to Emory University through the Quest Bridge National College Match. He found out about Quest Bridge through his friend Evan Haley, who was matched to Princeton University a couple of years ago. Also, Mendoza said his English teacher, David Newman, pushed his students to apply to the program. The way Quest Bridge works is you rank schools, and the first school that wants you, you'll get matched with them, Mendoza said. That's how Emory became my match. Both were pleased with the contribution. When people are learners for the sake of learning, and he is, and a lot of other people in his IB, International Baccalaureate, cohort, our data is all the reward I need, Newman said. And on a lot of days, that's the only reason that I come to school. That's because I do have students who are interested in learning for the sake of learning. There are other things that make me not want to come to school, but students like Rigo and other Ivy students, I especially want to emphasize the Ivy part. They are the reasons because they are not showing up to get something to pass, go, and go on to the next. They're actually showing up because they really are intellectually curious. I can't describe how unique and precious these kinds of stories are. Mendoza said the donation will help him. I feel really grateful because on top of the scholarships, there's still people out there reaching out and giving more than I've already received. Yes, it will definitely help me. I'll probably save this money to use over there in college instead of spending it here, Mendoza said. OHS College and Career Advisor Angelica Marino said she doesn't have enough words about Mendoza's achievements. He just keeps going. I'm amazed by everything that he does, and I think that is awesome that someone in the community not only recognizes it, but decided to do this for this young man, Marino said. Connection Center welcomes 3-year anniversary. About 3 years ago, Connection Christian Church of Odessa and 4 nonprofit agencies made their new home on Tanglewood Lane. Connection Christian Church co-lead pastor Don Weeks said it has been a win-win situation for the church and nonprofit organizations in the area. The office space for the 6 nonprofit organizations is known as the Connection Center, as it spans more than 10,000 square feet. It also includes communal bathrooms, a kitchen, and a large meeting room called Fellowship Hall. We knew there was always a need for better cost-to-rent spaces for nonprofits, Weeks said. It's a lower-cost rent to all nonprofits serving our community. It's all-inclusive. We're providing Wi-Fi and things that provide structure under the important work that they are doing. Weeks said about 150 people can fit inside the meeting room. Fellowship Hall doesn't cost the nonprofits additional funds to use the space. Weeks said all nonprofits have to do is put the event on the schedule. A lot of our nonprofits, where every time they have to do a bigger meeting, they had to scramble and figure out where they were going to meet, Weeks said. That takes energy. That takes planning time. We took that off the table because they have a place to meet. All they have to do is get it on our calendar of events. We are just helping them use their energy, time, and money better. The 6 nonprofits at the Connection Center are Centers for Children and Families, Big Brothers Big Sisters of Odessa, Basin Theater Works, YOLO Program, Youth Opportunities to Learn and Observe, Pink the Basin, and Junior League of Odessa. 3 of the 4 nonprofit agencies that originally entered the address at 4241 Tanglewood Lane still reside there. Centers for Children and Families, Big Brothers Big Sisters of Odessa, and the Basin Theater Works. Weeks explained there's one office space left for a nonprofit organization. Centers for Children and Families have the largest space that includes 6 counseling offices and 4 play therapy rooms. Centers is such a valued partner in our community, Weeks said. 40-plus years of being with the counseling center here and in Midland, we are really honored to partner with them. Prior to moving into its new space on Tanglewood Lane, Connection Christian Church of Odessa polled nonprofit organizations in the area about the need for affordable commercial space. Weeks said she calls the crossover between the church and nonprofit organizations Holy Synthesis, and she believes it's a continual need in the community. We take care of each other across all of our different corners of town, she said. We need to work together to take care of people.
Hello, this is April reading the Odessa American for Sunday, March 27, 2022. Pet scams continue to take a heavy toll. Heather Massey, Better Business Bureau. Check out www.bbb.org or call 563-1880. National Puppy Day was on March 23, and consumers could expect a nearly constant stream of cute puppy pictures across most social media platforms, celebrating everyone's furry best friends. After seeing these pictures, some consumers may decide that the time is right for a or another dog of their own, and will begin the process of searching for and purchasing a canine companion. However, exercising caution when shopping online for the perfect pet is important. Pet scams continue to take a heavy toll on consumers across the nation and Texas. According to BBB's 2021 Scam Tracker Risk Report, pets were the most common type of purchase used to perpetrate online purchase scams, and current data shows little indication 2022 will be much different. In Texas, more than $25,000 has been lost to pet scams so far in 2022, which accounts for half, 50.1%, of all monetary losses to online purchases. Of those who reported a loss of money due to a pet scam, the median amount lost is a staggering $1,363. Even though puppies are the most common type of animal used in a pet scam, BBB also receives reports of fraudulent sellers advertising the sale of kittens, reptiles, and birds that are never received, said Heather Massey, Vice President of Communications for Better Business Bureau serving the heart of Texas. In most cases, consumers do not recognize they are interacting with a scammer until they start arranging for the transportation of the animal after purchase. In February, one Texas resident submitted a report to BBB Scam Tracker that they lost $1,000 when attempting to buy a miniature schnauzer online. After paying an initial $400 to the seller, they referred the buyer to a shipping company to deliver the pet. The shipping company said I needed to send an additional $600 for issuing a sedative and reserving a special crate, the Dallas area resident reported. After that, they said I needed to pay an additional $800 for insurance. Fortunately, I had maxed out my Zelle limit. The consumer realized it was a scam once the shipping company stated they accepted gift cards as a form of payment after Zelle was no longer an option. I'm now out $1,000, and there's nothing I can do about it because it was debit, the report concluded. In addition to the risks associated with purchasing a puppy online, many charitable givers may consider donating to causes that support dogs this National Puppy Day. While BBB encourages charitable giving, it is vital to remain aware of scammers who create fraudulent charities and crowdfunding initiatives disguised as a worthy cause. It is always a good practice to spend the time to research a charity or foundation before committing any funds to their stated cause or mission, said Massey. Unfortunately, claiming that funds are going to a specific cause is as easy as writing it down. It takes some investigatory work on the part of the donor to make sure their money is going to a worthy organization. If considering a donation to a crowdfunding initiative, BBB recommends donating only to those you personally know or can independently verify as legitimate. Scammers and con artists are well-versed in appealing to the kindness of strangers and tugging on heartstrings for their benefit, said Massey. Don't immediately trust the story you read and the pictures you see. Spending the time to verify its authenticity can both save you money and make you feel better about donating to the cause. For more information about pet scams, visit bbb.org/petscams.
Breathing problems require a deeper diagnosis. Dear Dr. Roach, my wife had nasal polyps removed many years ago and within a year was diagnosed with adult asthma. She also contracted MAI several years ago, for which she was treated. In the past, she had one or two difficult periods of breathing, and her pulmonary doctor prescribed a prednisone to get her through those severe times. When she develops a cough, more mucus builds up, and her breathing becomes a problem to the point that she can barely breathe and needs severe treatment. The problem is that she also has severe osteoporosis, and all steroids are the worst thing she can take, as they destroy bone. She has been taking Advair daily since her original diagnosis. She has never been a smoker nor exposed to secondhand smoke, despite having been to several major hospitals and seeing many pulmonary doctors with the finest reputations who have done extensive research. Her conditions have worsened, and she also almost died multiple times in the past 2 years due to her lung failure. She is not a candidate for a lung transplant, and we have not found anything to help her get better or off the worst of the worst drugs. B. Answer. You identified two lung problems, asthma and MAC, which is Mycobacterium avium complex, a lung infection similar to tuberculosis. Asthma ranges in severity from so mild a person almost never knows they have it to repeatedly life-threatening. However, asthma is seldom a diagnosis that causes dilemma. There are many newer treatments that do not require prednisone, which absolutely is terrible for bones, and I suspect that she doesn't have just asthma alone. MAC can occur in people, usually middle-aged women, with no history of lung disease, but also occurs in people, usually older men, with existing chronic lung disease, symptoms resembling tuberculosis with a productive cough, weight loss, and tremendous fatigue. Treatment is with 2 or 3 antibiotics and typically lasts 15 to 18 months. Some 80% to 90% of cases are successfully treated if the person is able to tolerate the medications for the entire course of therapy.
This is the Dear Abby column. Good deed for daughter turns into a disaster. Dear Abby, I have a daughter who married a less than capable provider because she was pregnant. She's sloppy, hasn't seen a dentist in 5 years, barely keeps her room clean, and is very overweight. She lives with us now because she decided finally to go back to school. We let her live in an apartment we own, and it became so full of roaches because they didn't clean their dishes or floors that we left it as is. We are afraid to buy anything for them to live in again because they have no regard for their things, their child's things, or any place they live. What should we do when she finally gets a job, if that happens? Do we move her someplace and let her mess it up? Must we take care of everything? Signed, Raising a Child Adult. Dear Raising, it's a hopeful sign that your daughter has finally decided to return to school. However, from your description, she may be severely depressed and need to be seen by a doctor. That she would raise a baby in a filthy, roach-infested dwelling has me concerned about her ability to function as a parent. Be a little more patient with your daughter and encourage her to follow through with her schooling. If the apartment still belongs to you, have it professionally cleaned and permit her to stay in it, as long as it is kept clean enough that the baby can safely live there. Once she graduates and finds employment, give her enough money for a down payment or a deposit on an apartment. Look after your grandchild while she's working if her husband is incapable of doing it, which likely will be the case. Most important, make sure your grandchild is properly cared for. Dear Abby, when I was in high school, I stopped going by my short nickname and began going by my more formal given name. Everyone has been respectful except my significant other. When he met me 20 years ago, the change had already occurred. Yet he continues to call me by the nickname. He does it whenever he talks about me to others, and it often leads to my being in a social situation and having to correct people. When I have tried to impress upon him how important this is to me, he says I'm being trivial. Abby, it is my name, and I think I have the right to be called what I want. I consider his refusal to understand how I feel a sign of disrespect. Am I wrong? Signed, Call Me By My Name. Dear Call, No, you are not wrong. Your significant other should have made more of an effort to call you by your preferred name 20 years ago. Had he done that, by now it would have become habit. Correct him every time he uses the wrong name, whether it's in private or in public. For many people, this would not be a deal-breaker. However, because it is for you, it may be time to consider replacing him with someone who wants to help you be the person you want to be, rather than put a stumbling block in your way. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.